Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the 19-yard line. Roethlisberger throwing for the end zone. Holmes, did he catch it? Inbounds, touchdown. Holmes looked it all the way in. Roethlisberger put it on the mark.
To the end zone.
Caught! Touchdown, Pittsburgh! Jesse James! Two plays, they take it the distance.
After reviewing the play, the receiver in the end zone did not survive the ground. It's an incomplete pass.
Oh, my goodness.
It'll be Pittsburgh's ball. Second down and 10.
Now the pressure. Brady heaves it. And is it intercepted? He came down with it. And a feet down for Hayden. Intercepted. Ruling on the field. The feet were down.
Oh, man. Nice of Limits to include good Steeler highlights in there, because there haven't been many in their sordid recent history against the Patriots. It's a Donnie Football Friday, and man, do we have a lot to talk about. This feels like a gigantic game early in the season. Donnie, how are you? You had a little back and forth with Crowley in the locker room before the game. I think that got you fired up, did it not?
Yeah, there was a potential transaction in there with one of Crowley's family members that has seemed to fall through.
Yeah.
But we're going to put the game face on here for this, Joe.
I like it. You're going to fight through it. Limits, everything well over there?
Oh, everything is swell, Joe. Fired up for a football Friday, but oh boy, this game.
Donnie, the consensus is that Limits' haircut has added 10 years to him. He looks like he's 32. Do you agree?
Looks like Ryan Seacrest.
That's a great call.
Joe, if it adds 10 years to me, I don't think that's a compliment.
How about five Limits? Will you take five?
No, man. Say it makes me look like I'm like 22 or something. Or it makes me look my age.
Get rid of the baggy shorts now. That's next, isn't it, Donnie? Right?
No, I'm gonna wear what shorts I want to wear.
Okay.
He takes it back to like college basketball in 2006.
He really does.
I have to admire it.
They're not that baggy. These shorts are not that bad. Look.
You look great.
They're above my knee today.
I know. You do look great. I'll give you that.
You're critiquing me without even seeing what I look like today.
Yes, no, I saw you before the show, Limits, in the hallway. I said hello.
Now I'm insulted.
Everything's good, Donnie, over there? You're ready to go?
Very good.
All right. Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. It's Steelers-Patriots. And this used to be a big AFC game virtually every time they played. A couple times, it was the biggest AFC game of the year. But those days are gone. Those days are gone. The problem for the Steelers is that they've become the Patriots, and the problem for the Patriots is that they've become a worse version of the Steelers. Both of these franchises, since they lost their franchise quarterbacks, have been living, Donnie, in a land of mediocrity. Yes, the Steelers have a nice house there. They do. They have a wonderful house. They're living in high-end mediocrity. The Patriots are living in, at best, low-end mediocrity since Bill Belichick left. But they're both kind of in the same neighborhood, and yet this is a pretty big game. And normally we wait until the end. I'm not giving my prediction till 1:48. That's when the people expect it. We're going to start with predictions today, Donnie. And I'll tell you this. Something's fishy out there because everybody's picking the Patriots. And I am not picking the Patriots. We can say what we want about Mike Tomlin and his inability to win the biggest games. Over these past 8 years, he still wins most of his games, and he beats teams like this most of the time. The Steelers are going to win this game 27-20. And I like Tomlin in this coaching matchup. I'm not a big Vrabel guy. So many people are. He's, I think, 55-46, 2-3 in the playoffs. This season, they've already been riddled at home by Geno Smith for 320 yards. The last time they came here, I wrote a whole column about how Mike Vrabel butchered the game. I think it was back in 21. They came here with Ryan Tannehill. They shredded the Steelers on the ground. Big surprise there with guys I've never heard of. And yet he kept letting his offensive coordinator dial up Ryan Tannehill. And they lose a 10-point second half lead and lose the game because every time Tannehill dropped back, he either fumbled, got intercepted, got sacked. That's what lost them that game. Do you, either of you remember who had one of the biggest defensive plays for the Steelers in that game? Wasn't T.J. Watt. Wasn't Alex Highsmith, although they had some. Joe Hayden ended the game with a big tackle. But what anonymous outside linebacker made a huge play in that game? Two of them, actually.
So this would have been 2021?
Yes, it would have, Donnie.
Final year?
Yes.
Anthony Ciccolo?
Great guess,
oh,
but no.
I think he was gone by then.
Along the Ciccolo lines, yes.
Okay.
Donnie, this is right up your alley.
Man, I know. It wouldn't...
Very difficult last name to pronounce. I still can't pronounce it.
Was it like Ola Adeniyi?
Another great guess, but no. It was Derek Tuska.
Straight number 48.
Straight out of Tuscany.
Dupree's number.
And Taco Charlton.
Oh, the former first-round pick Dallas took.
Those guys beat Mike Vrabel in a game he led and ran for 200 yards in Pittsburgh. So, Donnie, I'm going Patriots. Take the Foxborough numbers and flush them down the toilet. Those are Brady Belichick numbers. Everybody beats the Patriots in Foxborough. They went 1-7 there last year. They're already 0-1 this year. And like I said, Geno Smith ate him up for 360 yards passing. Steelers, 27-20.
You do bring up a point that I have thought about this morning, just the feeling that now that the Steelers have lost a game, everybody is picking against them. In this one, it has become very in vogue to go Patriots.
Yeah.
In this game, and I wondered if you were going to come out and kind of buck that trend, and you did. But I'm feeling the Patriots in this game. I know that Geno Smith went off on them in week one. I think it was even more than 320. I thought he threw for like 360.
Yeah, 360.
And the Raiders beat them in that building. My concern is that the Patriots are getting after the quarterback. They're doing that just about as well as any team in football. They have multiple offseason acquisitions who are having big starts to the season. Milton Williams, one of them, he was somebody who I thought had an argument as Super Bowl MVP. He was so good against the Chiefs last year in that game. He's already off to a big start. That's what puts some fear into me, that Aaron Rodgers and the lack of mobility and the Steelers' poor offensive line play, that will set the tone on that side of the football. And then it just seems like we have seen two pretty average teams, and I would say maybe even less than average quarterbacks, have their way with the Steelers, more or less. I know that Darnold threw two picks last week, but when the game counted the most on those big money downs, he usually found his man, and he usually found his man wide open in the middle of the field. I think they exploited the middle of the field at almost a 49% clip last week. That's an absurd number. And that is something I feel that Josh McDaniels, the longtime OC during Tom Brady's tenure, who is now back in New England for what feels like his 10th stint there, that seems like something that he will exploit. So I know it's not Belichick and I know it's not Brady, but I think Drake May is a pretty talented kid.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's ready for the coming out party just yet, but it seems like the Steelers are losing that touch defensively, where you bring up that game in 2021, and they absolutely did. I mean, they rallied against a team that ended up being the number one seed in the AFC. They beat up Ryan Tannehill in the second half. But that was still a point where the superstars on the Steelers' defense were making things happen. T.J. Watt was making things happen. Joe Hayden, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Cam Hayward.
Derek Tuska.
Those guys aren't making things happen yet this year. This defense looks old and exposed through two games. And I just feel like the way things are going, I didn't feel good about this one on paper when the schedule first came out before we even knew what the teams would look like. And now that the Steelers' defense looks the way it does, it's a real put-up-or-shut-up game. I think the Patriots are going to beat them. I think it's going to be like a 28-23 score, something in that ballpark.
I hear you. And listen, don't get me wrong here. This isn't a pick for the Steelers, although it kind of is for Tomlin in these types of games over the years. He does win most of – he wins more than he loses. It's a pick against Vrabel and the Patriots. I think people have radically overrated that team even coming into the season. And everything you said about the Steelers is spot on. But what about the Patriots? What gives you hope or confidence, I should say, that the Patriots are going to pull out a game like this? See, I think here's what I think, Donnie, is that Derrick Henry floated a lot of boats in Tennessee. I think he floated a lot of boats. He floated the SS Smitty and the SS Vrabel, and he got them to – did they get to the AFC title game that year?
Yes.
In Kansas City and got out to a lead, right?
Well, not in 21, but I think 2020.
One of those years. Yeah, they got there. Derrick Henry floated a lot of boats in Tennessee. I'm just not a Vrabel guy, and I don't think that his team is very good. I think they have some strengths, but overall, roster-wise, I don't think they're very good. It's more of a pick against the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm not really bought into their whole roster either, but it's absolutely improved from what it was last season. I mean, they added multiple offensive linemen in the draft. I'm trying to think of the kid's name from LSU. They Will Campbell. They took him, fourth overall?
Yeah.
He has been as advertised early on. I had Scott Zolak on my show the other night, Joe, the former Ringgold quarterback.
Yeah, he's good on the air.
He said that kid is already the best offensive lineman on the team. Both guys that they have on the left side already look great. It is the worry that I have with their defense setting the tone early, getting after Aaron Rodgers, thumping the Steelers' run game, which has not been able to get out of the gate. And that kind of turning the game on its ear to where it will take one big Patriots play and it feels like things are going to snowball on this team. Because we just haven't seen in these first two games, again, against very pedestrian offenses and quarterbacks, the Steelers' defense of all things answer the bell.
That's for sure.
This is not how I expected the season to start out. I thought, okay, a couple of slugfest games. And they would get. I actually thought they'd be 1-1 to this point in the year. I didn't think it would look like this.
Man, me neither. But again, it's the other guys. And Donnie, you know, it's funny to look back at that 1913 Steelers win against the Titans, because the seeds of what ails the Steelers had already been planted by then. You know what I mean? A wildly inconsistent running game. They ran the ball that day against the Titans, 17 carries for 35 yards. Najee was 12 for 18. That's hard to do. And they still won a game because of Vrabel. The Steelers should have carried Vrabel off the field after the game. Can either one of you name the leading rusher for the Titans that day? There could be a steak dinner. Heck, there is a steak dinner on the line. Are you looking at the box score,
no,
Donnie?
No.
Are you limited?
I'm not.
You each get one guess. You each get one guess, and there's a steak dinner on the line.
Because I think I feel like it's a guy the Steelers had at one point on their practice squad, that McNichols guy.
That's actually a great guess. He played, but he only had 6 carries for 26 yards. Limits? Wrong.
Man, I don't have a good guess.
Dante Foreman.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that. The running back from Oregon.
I don't know where he's from, Limits.
Maybe you should.
They rushed for 201 yards. So this disease that the Steelers have been suffering from, stopping the run, unable to run, and just the general sort of living their lives in mediocrity, that was all there that day. All there. How do you give up 201 yards at home to that team? Donnie, you and I were watching, and that running back, what are you doing? You and I were watching, because you like to put on tape of whoever the Steelers' opponent is in a given week, tape of old games between the two teams. So you remember, I was back there watching. I'm like, Donnie, It's the end of the game. They're about to beat Brady and the Patriots in Ben's rookie year. Mm-hmm. And they flash a graphic that said Patriots 6 yards rushing. Then we have James Harrison this week talking about how he's worried. And man, the Steelers defense is bad. We have Chris Hogan here, you know, ripping basically Keanu Benton and Peyton Wilson. And I said, I used the word first. I said, this is embarrassing. And he said, yes, it's embarrassing. What has happened, not in the last 2 weeks, in the last several years. You know, sometimes they do okay against the run, but at big moments and for long stretches, they get gouged, and they really are embarrassing to watch, the Steelers' run defense and their defense overall in big moments, right?
It's also wild to think back of those defenses that were great. The defenses that Hokie was on, the defenses that James Harrison was a leader of,
yeah,
in the late 2000s. And it's funny to think, you know, that was a defense that didn't just talk about how good they were. They went out and showed how good they were. People feared playing the Steelers because of what they had on that defense. At every level, they had guys that could beat you. And now you go into a game. Yeah, the Steelers, they have football cards collected on that defense. I'm not saying that at one time they didn't have great players. Watt, Hayward, Ramsey. But why would a team fear them right now? Because it seems abundantly clear how to beat them. They blow the undersized nose tackle.
You could have just put a period there, but go ahead.
they are able to get to the second level. We have fullbacks that are pancake blocking not only one inside linebacker, but two of them on the same play.
Yeah.
A very rare play to see at the NFL level.
The daily double.
Yeah. I mean,
that was incredible. Was it not? Was that play not symbolic of everything that's wrong?
That has to be the career highlight. What's the guy's name? Like Utz?
I don't know.
Or something?
Yeah. Franz Utz.
That had to be a career highlight for him. But we're just seeing issues at every single level. Lack of communication, lack of cohesion, as Mike Tomlin says. Well, that also goes back to the coaching, because the defense that was put together by you and by Omar Khan, they should be communicating a little bit better.
Yeah,
it's
complaining
not
about
our fault that these guys haven't played football with each other before.
Right, exactly. They're complaining about communicating on their home field. I've never heard that before. I know it gets loud here on defense, but you revel in that. You expect that. You prepare for that. Can you imagine, like, Troy Polamalu or James Farrier saying, man, yeah, we couldn't communicate. This home crowd is really loud, so we had troubles. What? What are you talking about, Juan Thornhill? That's the stupidest thing he said since we're going to be one of the greatest defenses of all time.
You know what else was weird? And a caller brought this up to me last night, and I think there's been video that's gone viral with it. And if you were at the game, you saw it firsthand. So they always have a time mid-fourth quarter where they play Renegade.
Yeah.
You know, the crowd's going to go crazy. Everybody's waving their towels. And that used to be a point in the game where you knew the Steelers' defense, with some of those names of the 2000s and even into the 2010s, you knew that those guys were going to make stops.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And then Sunday, you see the Seattle sideline
erupting,
celebrating the fact that they're playing Renegade. Yeah. And then Sam Darnold goes right down the field
yeah.
on your vaunted Steelers defense. And they make a little historic footnote with Kenneth Walker scoring on 3rd and 19. When they were ready to just kick a field goal, he said, no, I'll take the touchdown instead.
Exactly. Donnie, everything you say is true. I think everything I've said is true about the Steelers. And yet, this is going to be an ugly game. I think it fairly high. What's the over-under? Do you know?
Last I saw, it was around 44.
I think it might go over, but that doesn't mean it won't be an ugly game. It's between two teams that nobody thinks has any chance to go to the Super Bowl. And those are the games that Tomlin wins more often than not. I'm sorry to be hung up on this 21 game, Donnie, but I feel like it's symbolic of everything, good and bad.
44 and a half is the...
Yeah, I think over. How do you... Team A had 22 first downs. Team B had 12. Team A had 318 yards. Team B had 168. Team A ran 78 plays to 45 for the other guys, and they ran for 201 yards, and the other guys ran for 35, and Mike Vrabel snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. He led 13-3 in the second half. I don't trust him. What do you think of Vrabel? People seem to think he's some kind of savior, great coach. Not me.
I think he's fine. I think he's a lesser version of what Dan Campbell is in Detroit, because you certainly have different categories of head coach in the NFL. Like, you have your boy wonder slash like dweeby head coaches, like the guy that coaches in Miami who we saw last night. They put up a decent fight.
Yeah, they did.
By the way, I thought that was going to be a bloodbath. You have like your offensive wizards around the league. And then you have just kind of your old-school meathead head coaches, and I think Campbell and Vrabel are the two poster children of that.
I like that call, actually. Where would you put him among the NFL head coaches? And how do you rate this coaching matchup? I give Tomlin an edge in this coaching matchup, and people will hear that and say, you know, think that I'm defending Tomlin at some high level. I'm not. I thought he should have been fired after last season. I just like him in this particular matchup.
So here's...
Who's your top three, Donnie? Top five?
Head coaches?
Yeah.
I mean, I think of Reed. I think of McVay. I still think of Shanahan pretty highly.
Yeah. Sirianni's got to be there now.
Yeah, right? I think he almost gets... He gets, like, too much hate for being a CEO head coach, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, he lets his coordinators do their job.
A lot of it is about sort of setting a vibe or a dynamic within your team and communicating with players. Star players, especially.
I think LaFleur's pretty good, too.
So do I. I'm with you there on all those guys. Sean McVay. I like Kyle Shanahan a lot. This CBS ranking has John Harbaugh third. I'm not with that, but I would put him ahead of Vrabel. Where would you put Vrabel in this, and where would you put Tomlin?
I feel like Vrabel's very middle of the pack. Like,
so
if
do
he's
I.
anywhere between like 15 and 20, that sounds about right to me.
Yeah,
and
Tomlin, me too.
Tomlin and Harbaugh, I usually put side by side. Like, those guys are joined at the hip.
I agree.
Like, whether it's like 7 and 8, 8 and 9, 6 and 7. Like 10 and 11, like wherever you want to put them, I just feel like they are very similar historically. Now, it's concerning for Harbaugh that he has not gotten to the Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson, for as good as Jackson is, and as good as that roster always seems to be. However, I do think you have to give the guy credit, whereas Tomlin has never developed a single quarterback. There have been two franchise quarterbacks developed under John Harbaugh, and they were completely different players. One of them a statue that could throw it a mile, Joe Flacco, and the other one maybe the best running quarterback any of us have ever seen, who's already won two MVPs.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all of that. And they drafted Lamar Jackson. They had the foresight and guts to do that.
And they weren't afraid to upset Joe Flacco in the process.
Right. And then Harbaugh has hired really good people around him and not been afraid to get rid of those people. He famously fired his offensive coordinator, Cam Cameron, the year they won the Super Bowl and brought in a new guy late in the season. He fired his offensive coordinator and off they went. He's had like three or four coordinators since then. But Todd Monken did a real. I still think Todd Monken's very good at what he does. and he fired him a couple years ago after Monken had great success with Lamar.
Greg Roman, another one.
Greg Roman, and not Greg Roman's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Greg Roman, the one who came in with Lamar and developed him.
And that was and then Jim Harbaugh.
Right. And then he brought in Monken, who's doing a great job. So I think Harbaugh gets points for that. I think he gets points for the fact that they have actually won playoff games in the past few years. They've gone to an AFC title game. And everybody takes the Ravens seriously as a Super Bowl contender. Nobody does with the Steelers.
They're also starting to dominate a division that for a long time people thought had so much great parity.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is going to be between at least three out of the four teams for the foreseeable future because you have Lamar and the Ravens, you have Burrow and the Bengals, and you have the Steelers with Tomlin, and they're always good.
Right.
They're starting to be the consensus pick every single year. Now with the Burrow injury, I think it's easy. I think it's an absolute slam dunk who's winning the AFC North.
So do I. My barring injury, of course, to that guy. So here we go. Steelers, Patriots, and it just isn't the way it used to be. They're similar. They used to be similar in the fact that they were, you know, among the rulers of the AFC. And in a lot of ways, Donnie, the rise of Brady and the Patriots may have cost the Steelers their own little dynasty under Ben. You know what I mean? If there were no Tom Brady and Patriots, who knows what the Steelers might have done, right?
And they oddly didn't meet in the playoffs a ton with those two. Like, they had the 04 AFC Championship game, and then not until 2016 did they meet again. So the Steelers did avoid them twice. Malzi loves to bring up that point as a knock on Ben, even though the Broncos blew out the Patriots the week before the Steelers then blew them out in the AFC Championship game. The year that Brady got hurt, that was the great 08 defense. So they didn't cross paths a ton like in the playoffs, but just so many big regular season games. The Jesse James game had a ripple effect that ruined that 2017 season because it changes seedings, it changes who you play.
I guess I'm saying in the end there might have been two more rings. Those two home AFC title game, or was the one an AFC title game with Rodney Harrison with the interception?
That was 04, yeah.
Yeah. And then there was the one where Josh Miller was bunting for the Steelers.
That was 01.
And so maybe two more rings, maybe three, because they went to Foxborough in 2016, remember?
Oh, and that was a bloodbath for the ages.
Right.
They had guys that were, like lacrosse players catching three touchdowns.
Right, lined up against James Harrison in the slot. So the Patriots have been, you know, an obsession around here for a long, long time, but not anymore because they're not any good anymore and haven't been for a while now. Since Belichick and Brady left, but man, what might have been if not for Brady and Belichick around here? Maybe two, maybe three more rings, right?
I mean, it's absolute, like that whole thing with Brady's time in New England, that's got to be one of the biggest what ifs in sports. Like, what if another team picks him?
How do you feel about the cheating?
I don't think it's something that should like hold those guys out of the Hall of Fame. Because I've never been that way with like any sport. I mean, like I think Bonds and all those guys should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, for instance.
If you were a Steeler, would you feel robbed?
I think if I played in those games, I would feel a little bit different. I would feel a little bit sour. And Joe, you know, I love watching the old games. You referenced one earlier. One that I was watching earlier this week was that 01 AFC Championship game. And I did think there was a pretty funny back and forth between Greg Gumbel and Phil Sims. They're just going, like, you know, they're just showing a replay of a play where the Patriots have it pretty much snuck out from the snap of the football, a play to Hines Ward, like a shovel pass to Hines Ward. And Phil Sims, he said, you know, it's wild. The Patriots, they know all these tricks. He went on to say, like, they run a lot of the similar plays, but I just thought that line was funny. And then Greg Gumbel adds in, yeah, I heard multiple, you could hear multiple defensive players before the snap of the football yelling shovel pass.
Wow. That's what Hines said. Hines said they absolutely, he felt, knew their signals. But who did we have on recently, Limits, where we were talking about? It was Seth Wickersham, the guy from ESPN. Him and Van Natta wrote the first like in-depth piece on Spygate, Donnie, where they put an actual play to signal stealing. And it was the early throw in the AFC title game against the Polamalu Steelers, where they burned him. I think it was Deion Branch. Yeah, I think it was Deion Branch. An early play to him where he said the Steelers coaches felt that that play, they were robbed. But Wickersham said, if you believed they stole your signals in the regular season game, or that they were stealing signals in general from your games,
You should have changed them. Yeah, I mean, that's
because
why
everybody knew they were doing it.
That's why I'm not somebody that says, like, oh, don't put those guys in the hall, don't take away their Super Bowls. I mean, like, they won those games. They won those Super Bowls. They did something that, let's be honest, they're probably not the only team in football to ever do.
Yeah.
They just happened to get caught because they were winning so much.
At the same time, I would put an asterisk in there. I would.
And I
would feel robbed. I remember asking Dick LeBeau at Steeler camp.
I would definitely feel different if I was one of those players or coaches against them.
Yeah. Now, it seems simple, too, to just change your signals. But I remember asking people around the Steelers way back then, and they said, yeah, I mean, it's simple, but imagine, like, just all of a sudden, for the biggest game of the year, you go in and all your signals are different? Like, it sounds simple. It might not be so simple. We have Juan Thornhill saying they can't even communicate on the field during a home game. Like, all of a sudden, 3 means 6 and 8 means 4. Guys get confused.
Yeah, I mean, the guys now can't even figure out the signals they've presumably been working on since, like, May.
Right. I remember asking Dick LeBeau at training camp, maybe the year Spygate broke, it must have been, how much of an advantage do you think they had on you because of stealing signals? And it was really mostly about the defensive signals they were stealing. And he looked at me, and the look said everything. And then he thought better of really ripping into it and said, I don't think it could have hurt him. That was his quote. So you better believe guys like Chris Hoke and many of those Steelers think they were robbed. Cowher has always come down on the other side of it, but I always wonder about that because Belichick was like a mentor to him and was like an advocate for him getting jobs. You know what I mean? So I don't know that he wants to just trash a guy who was that important to him. Anyway, they were annoying too, weren't they, the Patriots? Who's the most infuriating Patriot of all time, in your opinion?
Individual player or anybody?
Or anybody in the organ. It has to be Belichick, right?
Yeah, I think.
Did you have more ire when you were a little Donnie Football Jr.? Did you direct more of your anger during games or become more irritated with Brady or Belichick?
I think Brady, when I was watching the games in real time. But I think Belichick was truly like the root of all evil. Plus, he just looks like an evil figure.
How about you, Limits? When there was a little Limits, who would you become more enraged at?
Brady.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated Brady. Just the way that he was able to make everything look so easy, orchestrate an offense with wide receivers you've never heard of before and running backs that came off the street and played well.
Yeah, and he seemed, and this was true, he took a particular pleasure in sticking it to the Steelers.
No doubt.
You could see the way he celebrated touchdowns, the way he ran up to Anthony Smith after the famous guarantee.
Yeah.
Just his Smith general.
Smith probably deserved that.
He did.
Yeah.
His general demeanor toward the Steelers was one of, he felt like they were a flagship, you know? He wanted, and he wanted to take that flag and plant his own. You know what I mean?
Watching him, it was so frustrating because even with the good defenses they had, outside of a few games, he always had them figured out. And like he always made it, like Austin said, look so easy. And he would do it with guys that looked like Austin playing receiver.
Right.
It would be a guy built like Austin out there hauling in like 8 grabs for 96 yards and a touchdown.
They were pretty damn annoying, too.
Yeah, like old lacrosse players coming onto the field and playing well.
Chris Hogan.
Remember Danny Amendola?
Oh, you just wanted to punch him. Julian Edelman.
Welker,
yeah.
Now, Welker was a really good one. Edelman's the one that annoys me.
Yeah.
Because, okay, he was a good playoff player. He played for the Patriots. He had Tom Brady. People act like he should be in the Hall of Fame. He has worse numbers than, like, Dwayne Bowe.
I know, or Jericho Cotchery. Rodney Harrison was another one.
And he was a dirty player.
I was in their
He's
locker room.
He's up there with Bill Romanowski.
Oh, yeah.
Dirty players.
Not only that, he almost stuck me with a pencil, Donnie. I was in my own pencil. I was covering them the week of the AFC title game to 04. So I went to Foxborough for the whole week and covered the Patriots and was in their locker room. And they were saying absolutely nothing on orders from Belichick. Even Josh Miller, my friend, who I would someday do a radio show with, who would talk about anything for an hour. I'm like, can you compare Cowher and Belichick? And he gave me the blandest answer that Josh has ever given in his life. So I'm like, if I can't get that guy to talk, nobody in here is talking. And then at the end, we're all standing in a scrum to the exit of the locker room where they could go, you know, in the back where they could avoid people. And Rodney Harrison comes running through and starts like swatting people's arms away and stuff, including mine. And my pencil went right back into my arm, Donnie. I wasn't going to do anything about it.
Surprised he didn't dive at your knee.
Me too. I mean, he's Rodney Harrison. I wasn't going to do anything about it, but I do remember it.
As good as those offenses were, they had some annoying guys on that defense. I mean, you had Rodney Harrison,
yeah.
Teddy Bruschi.
Right.
Richard Seymour, Willie McGinnis.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they weren't good players. Some of them were great
Better
players.
Than people thought, that yeah. defense. They had some great players. But
Ty Law? Ty Law should have been the MVP
yes,
in that
he
first
should've.
Super Bowl.
That's the biggest injustice in MVP voting in Super Bowl history. He should have been the MVP. Because Brady dinked and dunked him down the field at the end.
He had like 140 yards
And his
passing.
Kicker kicked an 80-yard field goal. Ty Law scored a touchdown on defense. I agree with you.
Yeah, that defense had some
Do you think Ben should have gotten the MVP over Santonio? Nine times out of 10, they give it to the quarterback in a game like that. Maybe 99 times out of 100. But Ben's off-the-field miscues, I think, going into that season may have kept people from voting for him.
I think because of that drive, all but like what, one reception went to Santonio? Like,
yeah.
He was as important on that drive as Ben was. I think that's what put him over the top.
I get it, Donnie, but every other time, if that happens any other time in history, I think it goes to the quarterback. They just give it to the quarterback in the Super Bowl, but they didn't that year, did they? Santonio was great. Don't get me wrong. Bob Kraft is also annoying, isn't he? Limits.
I think Kraft, Belichick, Brady, in whatever order you want to put them in, they're the top three most hated.
Well said.
Kraft was very annoying.
412-928-9370. Donnie has the Patriots winning. I have the Steelers winning. Limits, who you got?
You know, since the start of the season, I have felt that New England will win this game. When we did our predictions at the very beginning of the year, I thought the Patriots, I'm sticking by it.
There you go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into a Donnie Football Friday, Austin City Limits Bechtold to my left. Man, we got a lot to talk about here. It's Patriots, Steelers, and even though it's not the profile of game that they often used to play, these two franchises, when they both had great quarterbacks, it's still a huge game. Donnie, this really does feel like a swing game early in the year, and it also feels like one for the Steelers that will linger if they lose. I mean, all you have to do in the NFL is be around 500 to be in the wild card race, and I feel like both these teams will be that. And, man, it could be a decisive game when we're sitting here on a Donnie Football Friday on December 28th. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I see the Patriots as a team that is a 9 or 10 win team. I think 10 at the most. That was a like sexy playoff pick.
Yeah.
For a lot of people this year, because they are expecting now with Mike Vrabel, we're going to see that second year jump from Drake May. The Steelers, it's like clockwork. I mean, I just always feel with them, until I see it with my own two eyes, they will always be in the mix at worst. Like I never really envision 5-12 or 6-11.
Right.
They won't let it happen.
And you're not envisioning that this year, I trust, right?
No.
Me neither. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Although if they lose this week, I may start to lean in that direction, because that would be a really bad sign. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. The 50-minute mark on The Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Ray Fittipaldo coming up top of the hour. We're going to get to your calls right now on game predictions. That's where we started. I think Tomlin wins at least these kinds of games. He does. I got the Steelers 27-20. Donnie and Limits both have the Patriots. Sunny today with a high of Antonio Brown, 84, and a low of Jack Lambert, 58. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Limits, who do we have?
Well, Jay in Columbus is not feeling very well about this game. Are you, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
No, not at all. With no offensive line, no defensive line, and how many records does a Tomlin-led defense have to set? I mean, guys, that 3rd-and-19 last week, it looked like the team quit on 3rd-and-19 goal. I've never seen anything like that.
That's because nobody's ever seen anything like that, because it never happened, Donnie. Nobody's ever run the ball for a touchdown on 3rd-and-goal from the freaking 19-yard line. What's going to happen this week? 3rd-and-goal from the 46, and they do a draw play for a touchdown?
It's going to get ugly. 34-13, Patriots. Drake May is way better in Fields than Darnold. Their defense is leading the league in sacks, and Broderick Jones is clueless. This team's clueless, and it sucks. We're going to 5-12.
There it is with the 5-12. 34-13? Is that what he just went with?
34-13, yes, I mean, and he hung up on himself.
That
mic drop.
That sounds like a score we would get in the Brady Belichick era.
Yeah.
Steelers go in, they get their ass kicked, they walk out of there with their tail between their legs. That would be a really bad look. That would be the point where I think it's really panic mode. I know it's only week three, and I don't love using the like must win moniker for a game this early in the season or anything, but if they would go in there and lose that badly, I think we're hitting the panic button.
Next,
here is Seth in Elwood City.
What's up, Seth?
Hey, hey guys. So I'm a Joe Starkey disciple here. I go around town telling everybody that the Steelers are mediocrity veiled in stability. I love the new one. Be careful when the Steelers and Mike Tomlin tell you how good they are. So I just can't get over, like, who the blank is Juan Thornhill? And when he tells us that our defense is going to be historic, you know that's him parroting Tomlin. And this has been going on so long. Do you remember back, I think it was the Killer Bees, maybe even the beginning of the Killer Bees, when they used to tell everybody in the interviews that when teams see the Steelers on the schedule, that they circle, you know, that this is their Super Bowl. And these were guys, I remember you guys pointing out, these guys haven't accomplished anything yet. So I just really wonder what goes on behind closed doors. We kind of know it because of the AB when he projected it to everybody, but I just think they're filled with arrogance and delusion, and I see the opposite of that in a Mike Vrabel team. I think that they're going to be detailed, prepared, and they'll probably beat us at the linebacker level in defensive and offensive line play.
Seth, do you get more annoyed when you hear somebody like Juan Thornhill say a big quote like that, or is it worse when Mike Tomlin says, yeah, this group will be historic?
That's a good question. I really view them as one and the same, but it's laughable when like Anthony Smith does it or Juan Thornhill does it. But those characters are just moving in. What my point today is that this is 10 or 15 years of, you could sub out the characters repeating Tomlin's message. When Tomlin does it, I mean, I know, I just know how happy it makes. I heard he was, you know, he's so proud of this defense this year. So I like when Tomlin does it because we need more receipts. Maybe something the national media could actually play back and make him look like a fool. We need more of that.
I think he hit the nail on the head there, Joe, where it's like the characters are the guys you can change in and out. And, yeah, when they say it, you kind of laugh at them. Anthony Smith, Juan Thornhill. But with Mike Tomlin, there's more meaning there.
Yeah, and it feels like when he's gone in that direction, things have come out really bad. Unleashing Hell in December. We'll play the Patriots again with the Tony Dungy interview. We have a great just 3 years ago, he said our defense, I expect them to be great and dominant. They didn't make the playoffs that year. And now this year, history-making. So that would be 0 for 4. All right, Donnie.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.